We've been speaking about faith for the last 5 or so weeks. And God is obviously stirring and encouraging us to be people of faith, to walk in faith. You've got seasons where your faith might be a bit low, and sometimes where your faith is a bit greater. But Jesus said in Luke that, man, they can say, man, he just said along the lines of, when I return, will I find faith? If he walks in this door, well, after worship, I believe he'll find a lot of faith. But when he walks into our everyday lives, when he walks into us, just a standard charismatic westernized church, will he actually find real faith? Real authentic faith. Trusting God, following God wholeheartedly. And that is what I believe God is going to do in and amongst us. Unfortunately, there's a couple of people gone today, but we trust that God will just impart that for them as well. That God will enable us to be a people full of faith. Full of faith. I'm going to, like I usually do, just quickly run over one or two points that we've covered, because not everybody's heard everything. But we firstly said that faith is important in our lives as Christians for the mere fact that that leads to salvation. Faith in Christ leads to salvation. So that's the first step. That's the turn of the key. That is the first step into our kingdom lifestyle that we have in our relationship with God is salvation through faith. It's important for a relationship with God. We'll get back to that just now. We want to be a people full of faith. Like Stephen was, full of the faith and the power of the Holy Spirit. Why else do life? Why else do life as a Christian if you can't be full of faith in the fullness of the Spirit? Not saying it's all nice and dandy every single day. Yes, there's trials. Yes, there's tough times. But why do life as a Christian if it's not full of faith and full of the power of the Holy Spirit? And then when Christ returns, we fight faith. When young Skuman shared with us, the just shall live by faith. And thereafter we shared with one another, nothing will be impossible with God. For nothing will be impossible with God. It seems like an awesome verse to hear. But when reality struck, when you're between a rock and a hard place, when you're in a catch-22 situation of life, is that the truth, the true reality in your life? We said that the keys to our hope and faith is that our hope needs to be one that is biblical. We, way back, had a hope to move out to Rebecca Steele, have kids that runs around with earth child clothes, have an SUV, have a Doberman, maybe two, if you're really spiritual. Have a Siamese cat, a chicken pen, oh, a pug. That wasn't part of the hope. Have a pug, have a couple of good friends, have a nice business, and maybe we can even lead a cell when we're big one day, or whatever the case would be. But we had a certain hope of God. We had a lifestyle, we had a dream, and God had to put it through the refiner's fire to realize what we actually dream about. Now, luckily, I'm not going to bore you with that story again today, but for us, that was 5 years in Malmesbury, without an income most of the time, without too many friends, even without cars at the stage. And God had to just to come and chisel our hearts, and just to come and redefine what the hope is. And he constantly does that in all of our lives. What is the things that we hope for? We've got faith, hope for certain things. May it be biblical, may it be his will. So we said things can be done, the impossible can be done, but it needs to be with God. The key there for me is with God, to operate with him. And out of that, obviously, we flowed into a relationship. Your faith will grow as your relationship with God grows. It's not rocket science. But your faith will grow as your relationship grows. It's important to know, am I a son or a slave? Am I operating the thing? I might be saying I'm a son, but I might be thinking of operating like a slave. And for God just to come through his Holy Spirit to help us. And so, as faith grows, relationship grows. We ended off last week by saying communication is important. In any marriage, in any relationship, in any friendship, in any form of discipleship, communication is very important. Jenny came in early this morning. Edna sent her a long SMS. She's helping us out with ushering and the coffee table. And she's just being who she is, just an absolute blast as a person, a blessing. But there had to be communication. She was here, out with a cell phone. Don't know if it's a smartphone or one of the newest ones, but it's a cell phone. And she's been scrolling up and down as I walk in through that message of Edna. She's just looking at the communication. What do I need to do? What do I need to do? What do I need to do? I don't want to mess this up. What do I need to do? And luckily, I can tell her, Jenny, just be Jenny. That's what we need at the coffee table and greeting people. Just be you. So, but communication in any relationship is important. If the communication dies down, the relationship dies down. And accordingly, in our relationship with God, faith dies down. That is very important for us. Romans 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by the hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I'm not going to get into that scripture again, but it's one of my favorite. Faith comes when you hear the word of God, and that word is the rhema word. If maybe God spoke to you and gave you a rhema word this morning, it will stir faith. There was a bit of a battle concerning this morning in my preparation, more so than some other mornings. So I was up this morning, there was some anxiety, so I knew there was a spiritual battle. I need to get into the Holy of Holies, and I need to say, God, what are you saying about today? Because I can clearly hear what the devil is saying about today's service. But what are you saying? And he said to me, this, this, and this. Within a space of time, and I'm like, and peace came to my heart. Faith came to my heart, and I knew that was God's plan to me. Just flush the enemy's plan. Because any single thing in your life, any relationship, any venture, anything that you're doing, the enemy will always have an opinion. It just depends on who you're going to lend your ears out to. So, faith cometh by the hearing, and hearing by the word of God, the King James said. What is faith? We said it over and over again, but we need to remember it. Because we get tested on it. That's life. We get tested on our faith. It's not writing exams about it, but life is a bit of an exam. We'd like to pass to go into eternity with our Father. Faith is the general definition we said is complete trust or confidence in someone or something. Reliance, dependence, hope, trust, belief. That just stirs up emotion in anybody. And then the verse that we know. Now faith is a substance or the reality of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. So this morning when it was still dark and I had time with the Lord, he gave me the reality. He showed me the reality of this morning. He showed me the reality of my Sunday. And I needed to hold on to that because I had a hope. I had a hope of a people entering into his presence. I had a hope of people tasting his presence, hearing his voice. I had a hope of people coming in and eating fresh bread, fresh manna. That's my hope. But I needed to trust God because, man, oh man, if it's up to me, it wouldn't happen. But it was up to him, and so we're going to go around along the same vein as relationship. And remember, we speak in context of faith. Just keep at the back of your mind, we're talking faith. We want to be people full of faith. We want to grow in faith. We're going to remember that we can be giants of faith. Just a little disclaimer. Giants of faith. But it needs to be coupled with, it needs to walk hand in hand with love. Faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. So you can have great faith, but it can mean nothing if there's no love. So just, it's a litmus test for great faith, I believe, is there actually love? I can believe for a lot of stuff in life, but it depends if I've got love for God and love for my neighbor, or is it actually love for myself? So anyway, that's a good test. But we're going to move down the lines of relationship, and you'll see just now what I'm referring to. I felt in preparation, just to stop here quickly and to say, is growing in faith this massive task for you? Please be honest. Is anybody feeling that growing in faith, it feels like a bit of a task? Cool. Anybody else? Cool. I repent if at all I brought that across upon you. That's not my heart. There is a battle in life. And yes, there is. It is a bit of a task, but it should not be a burden. To grow in faith, to grow in relationship, should not be seen as a burden. So, I'm going to pray there. Lord, I just pray that you will just stop any plans of the enemy of putting false yokes on anybody in this church. God, I believe you call us to grow in faith in this season. And you're going to show us how, and you're going to grow us, because only you can. You will disciple us. You will grow us in faith, God. We need knowledge for it. We need wisdom, and we need your Spirit and your Word. We need your Son. But Lord, I just pray, Lord, if there's any false burdens on anybody here in having to perform or push out or direct out faith, God, and we just cut it off and we just ask for freedom to come this morning. We just ask for absolute freedom to come. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. As I said, if I had any part in that, I do apologize. That's definitely not the heart. You can ask Edna. It's so easy. I'm really not hard on these things. And God's called me to walk to warriors at certain things. So I might be a bit pushy on certain subjects, especially in our home, but hopefully it doesn't come across here. My heart is just for us to walk in the absolute fullness of the faith that God wants to give us. I want nobody that I know that my life ever touched to miss the calling that God had over their lives. That's, I don't know if that makes sense, but that's it. I just want the potential of Christ just to explode in their lives, in and through their lives. Because that's just insane. And just imagine missing that. That'll be a real, real, real sad day. So that's the reason I believe I'm so passionate about it. And that's why we're speaking about faith. Now, it's not a massive task. That's just what I wanted to stop firstly. Just a little bit of a disclaimer. It's not this massive task that you need to do. There's a place of an obedience, and we're going to get to that now. There's a place of an obedience, but you can look up to Christ. You can look up to Him. The Word says, abide in me, and I will abide in you. So it's a decision. It's a decision. It's a constant decision. The Word says, seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened. So I just want to say, there is a place where you look, where you turn to, where you turn your heart's eyes towards God and say, grow me in faith, grow me in relationship, grow me in understanding. But it's a mere submission of the heart. It's mere the surrender of the heart. It's mere the surrender of the will that He wants from us. It's not pushing out the fruit. Are we on the same page on that, guys? Because if we're not on the same page, we don't want to be a religious folk and become self-righteous and full of pride. That's not what we want either. But we want to be full of faith. So now that we've settled that one, let's go on. There's help. There's a heck of a lot of help for us to grow in faith. Who would love all the help that they can get to grow in faith? To grow in their relationship with God? Awesome. Guess what? There is help. I've got good news for you. You'll be glad I'm not an American preacher because you would have heard it in different decibels than that. But I've got good news for you. There is help to help us along the way. There's help that will take our hand and it will help us to grow in faith and relationship. Jesus Himself said the following, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. And if He says it's the truth, it is the darnest truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. Jesus said, it is good that I go away. It is good that I go away. It's as good as you're in a Boeing 747. You've got the privilege to go into the cockpit. You just step in there and you meet the pilot. Say, hey, Mr. Pilot, it's great to meet you. What do you do? What's all this? Nice. This and this and this. And then 10 minutes later, the pilot turns around to you and looks you straight in the eye and he says, guess what? And you're like, what? He said, it's good for me to go. And you're like, no. You don't understand. It's really not good for you to go. It's really good for you to stay. Mark Foster's seatbelt. And he just steps out. And he's standing in the cockpit of the Boeing 747. And he's like, don't worry. I'll send the Helper. And you're like, what the heck are you doing? Just imagine the disciples in that moment. They had Jesus. Let me repeat. They had Jesus. At arm's length. Less than arm's length. In fact, some of them were dousing off on his borscas. They had Jesus in their everyday life. And He has the faith to say to them, guess what? It's good that I go away. Let's just take that in. Let's just realize that if Jesus said it's good that I go away because I will send a helper, then it's probably a very good helper. If Jesus said that this is the truth, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, It is good that I go away. It is good that he goes away. Because he sends a helper. Unfortunately, we've been privileged enough to hear a lot about Jesus, about the Holy Spirit, about the Word, etc. But sometimes we get a bit numb towards the power, and about the power, and about the awe, and about the wonder, and about the greatness and the supernatural ability of Christ, the Holy Spirit. If you were a couple of people out in Asia, hiding in the dark, none of these, eating rice afterwards, no coffee whatsoever, we would have been maybe a bit more, I'm not judging, in my heart, but we might have been a bit more surprised and excited about the fact that we get a helper. I just want us to shake our hearts again. I'm not going to do it, I'm going to trust the Lord to, or yourself, just to come and shake our hearts again. Just realize, hey, whoa, this is massive. This is massive, the helper that Jesus sent, he will send back to us. Who's got the helper, guys? Who have you? Six. Awesome. Great stuff. No, we all have the helper. But we need him to help. We need to let him help. Got a word from the Lord in intercession on Thursday. It was a bit of a profound one to me, and it was about church. I was mulling it over, and I thought, well, it's nice, Lord. And shared it with the other guys, and then on Friday night, I just shared it with Edna. The Lord said to me the following much, she says, it's because of that issue in your life, or that issue in your life. Lucky you kept that away. But she said it was because of that issue. Hectic, you're right. That sucks. And in fact, she was so right, she repeated it three times. That made her even more right. But it just spoke to my heart that I could not disagree for a moment. I am hers, but she's also my helper. And in that moment, for me to see what God is saying to me, I had her to bring the flashlight and say, duh, that's the problem. You're right. And so, God sends us these helpers so that we don't have to do things on our own. The helper of the Holy Spirit is the Parakletos. In other words, it's the helper, it's the standby, it's the advocate, and it's also the comforter. Do you need comfort? I need a lot of comfort. I'm not definitely not going down that path. Maybe not. But anyway, I need a lot of comfort sometimes. I can really testify to this. My God is a comfort. My God through the Holy Spirit is a comforter. We're trying to ask God, Lord, just rattle our cages, rattle our hearts so that we can realize how important this help that you gave us, this help that you want to give us, how important that is. And I ask God a weird question. Please guard your hearts. Don't want to offend. But I said, Lord, how desperately do you want to help? I'm not asking this to challenge God or anything, but I'm just trying to see the context. I can't. I'm a kid. I'm a human. I'm not God. I'm not the Father. I'm not the good Father. So I'm just saying, Lord, you send us a helper. We don't see him there that often helping people because they're reluctant to receive it. They're reluctant to down their walls and open their doors for his help. So it's not the Holy Spirit's fault at all. It's not your fault, God. But how desperate do you want to help me? Now, who's got kids here? Who's got children? All right. It really sucks when they get sick. It really sucks. And I'm saying this under the blood of Christ, but if there's something that just touches my heart very quickly, touches my whole being very quickly, is when your kid is sick. And I just immediately realized that when one of our kids, if they only had like a little snort niesi, just a little cold, then everything stands still. Everything gets put on hold in our house, and we first want to sort out the problem. We firstly want to help. Who's like that? I guess everybody's like that. And that's the only picture that God brought up to my heart, is that's the way in which he feels. If we get spiritually sick, if we get spiritually far away, if we spiritually run in front of a big bus or a train, he kind of wants to put things on hold and jump into that moment and save. That is the way he wants to save us. That is the way in which he wants to help through his Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ and the Word. This is not a head thing, guys. I pray that this will connect in our hearts. It needs to settle in each and every heart that God desperately wants to. He really wants to get stuck in. He, furthermore, like ourselves, have a better knowledge as well and a better vision than ourselves. Edna, as a child of God, might think, I need this now, I need this now, this needs to happen now, this needs to happen now. And God is quiet, just like a parent towards a kid, just like she would be to Frida. But in that place, she needs to start trusting that this is helping. God has been quiet. He's not saying anything, but he's actually helping because he's seeing better than I'm seeing. So there's a flip side to that as well. I just wanted to make that clear. Bottom line is God is like that parent that wants to help. Scratch around. God, this following scripture, and I believe it is within context. Isaiah 49:15-16. Isaiah 49:15-16. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Obviously, no. You can just, Monique, I can give you the mic and you can tell me, can you forget about Corey? As she's on your breast or as she's close to you, you just don't forget her. Or if he won't phone you on Tuesday morning, this is, we don't know. Did we leave Corey behind at church? Can you just go lock, just unlock and just check in? Please just check from in the mother's room if we've left Corey there. Please. Oh, again. Oh, it sucks. No, that does not happen. Well, unfortunately, in this broken society, it does probably happen. God have mercy on us. But in the normal run-of-the-mill type of lifestyles and hearts, it doesn't just happen. And God uses that beautiful picture as he sees us. He says, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? And then he says the following. Though she may forget, in fact, he says, well, there is a slim chance, a slight chance that might happen. I will not forget you. Please, may that sink. May you drink that into your spirit. Though she may forget, though a mother nursing a little child, a little baby may even forget, I will not forget you. He says this to Israel, but I believe he says this to all of his children. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Now, how desperate is God to help us through his Holy Spirit in everyday life? How desperate is he? I believe, or how serious, let me not use the word desperate so much, but how serious is God to help us? I believe he's very serious about helping us. He sent his son. The Holy Spirit and helper. Let's quickly look at the following, just a few characteristics about him. Some of us might not be that afraid, because you hear a lot about Levi Jesus when you grow up. God. Levi Jesus and God, if you're Afrikaans. Don't know about the English people, but you don't hear that much about the Holy Spirit. Might be the dove somewhere in some story, but don't hear anything else. Demons, speaking in tongues, Holy Spirit, those type of chats are out. But you hear a lot about God and Jesus, but just for the sake of clarity, the Holy Spirit is also God. He's part of the Trinity. He's God himself. His name is coupled in equality with the name of the Father and the Son. In other words, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. His deity is seen as in relation to Jesus Christ. So it's not a lesser deity to the Holy Spirit. It is God. It is Emmanuel with us. It's like, hello? Awesome. He's with us here. God actually this morning with us. Emmanuel through the Holy Spirit here with us. In your car. Sometimes maybe going like this. But in your car, he's with you. At your house, he's with you. And he can be with you. He would like to be with you if you let him in. We come to the Father in the name of Jesus with the help of the Holy Spirit. That's what we do. Yeah. By his grace, we enter into God's presence and we meet with him. Hopefully we do that daily and not just on Sundays. The Holy Spirit is a person, a personality, a gentleman. Comes upon invitation, never draws attention to self. Does not function apart from the cross in our lives. You can run away on spiritual stuff and leave the Holy Spirit behind if you leave the cross behind. Don't get all spiritual without Jesus. Or the Word. But don't get all religious with the Word. without the Spirit. May God give us balance, but that's not today's sermon. The Holy Spirit is the truth following things, and who's heard this? Probably all of us. The fruit and the Spirit are the fruit and the gifts. The Holy Spirit has 9 gifts and 9 fruits. 9 gifts, 9 fruits. Remember, we're speaking faith. We're speaking faith, and we need the help of the Holy Spirit. But what is fascinating is that both the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and we're going to quickly open up what that is, both the fruit of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit has this thing in common. Firstly, they're from the Holy Spirit, but second to that, faith is found in both of them. Faith is found in both the gifts, the stuff that the charismatic people really like, and in the fruit, the stuff that the charismatics really should like. It's found in both faith. It's found in both the fruit and the gifts. And that I found very interesting, and just in preparation, I knew there had to be something about that. And it's something that we can just then stand on. And thank you, God, that the Holy Spirit will help us to walk in both these, or to experience both these attributes in our lives. Galatians 5:22, just 3/4 of that sentence. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Just remember, we said we all have the Holy Spirit. Check the box. Remember, we're speaking faith. The Holy Spirit, God Himself, is with us. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. And it goes on. We're going to stop there right now. And then the gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, we're going to stop there later as well, says to another faith by the same Spirit. And here we're speaking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit given to people. Faith by the same Spirit to another gifts of healing, etc., etc. If you look at Hebrews 11:1, if you look at 1 Corinthians 12, and you look at Galatians 5, the word faith there has got the exact same Greek meaning. It's got exactly the same meaning. Some translation speaks with a gift. They call it faithfulness, but I think it's clear that we can just stay clear of that and just stay on faith as being a gift and a fruit of the Spirit. Now, what is faith as a fruit? What is faith as a fruit? Who finds it easy to bear the fruit of the Spirit? Any of you guys? Who of you guys bear the fruit of the Spirit? Sometimes? Certain sections of it? Chris, yeah? It takes time, amen. Who finds it difficult sometimes to, on a Monday morning, who bears the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your holy job?
Okay, yeah, there's work to do. Hallelujah, I'm at the right place.
Galatians 5, verse 17-23, let's just run through that. For the flesh, and I'm going to give this, just get the full context so that we can discern where am I at. Waar steek wat sy kop uit in my lewe? What is manifesting in my life? And then you quickly discern if you're walking by the Spirit or by the flesh. And guys, we're first in the queue, by the way. And we're really first in the queue. If you want detail, even if it's gory detail, come and chat to us. We really don't want you to think that we've got this all knuckled down, not at all. But God's got it all knuckled down, and He will sanctify our lives. As we submit it to Him and lay it down before Him daily, as we seek and walk with the Holy Spirit, we will see it by faith. Hallelujah. It's much better than it was 12 years ago. Yes. For the flesh desires what is against the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what is against the flesh. Now, this battle is in our lives. It's within our lives daily. These are opposed to each other so that you don't do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now we get into the gory stuff. Now, the works of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissension, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar. So if you might have thought you missed the guillotine there, anything similar as well is of the flesh. I tell you about these things in advance, as I told you before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God.
so sleg gewees het. Maar hier kom die goeie nuus, vers 22, but the fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness and self-control. Just think about them. Just meditate on them for a moment. Love. These are the things that comes out of your life. These are the things that you can bear. These are the fruit that can come out of your life as you are led by the Holy Spirit. Love. Peace. Patience. Just imagine that one. Would be sweet. Kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Gifts, we know, are given. Fruit, on the other hand, with fruit, I believe, through the Holy Spirit, you get it in seed form. I don't give you a box of apples. I don't bless you with a Woolies voucher and say, go buy apples. I don't give you, God gives us an apple seed. And now, depending on the fertility of your heart and the ground that, in which you're going to plant it, you plant that apple seed. And that little tree needs to grow. It needs to be nourished. It needs to be looked after. It needs time. And that's how the fruit of the Spirit is. All the time work in our lives. God gives it. He implants that. He gives us it in seed form through His Spirit. And then it needs to grow into our lives. All of those nine fruits we can bear as we see to it that our trees, our fruit trees are looked after, are nourished. How do you think we do that? How do you look after your apple tree once it's in seed form, once the Holy Spirit's giving it to you in seed form? How do we look after it so that you can know? And remember we said we're not going to fall into dead works. We're not wanting any false burdens, but we want to walk in obedience. There's still a narrow road to follow. How do you think just practically, I don't have any answers, but just practically how are we going to grow into that? What do we do? Meditate on the Word. Eight hours for the Word. Absolutely. Persistence. Have discernment. Yes. Watching it in. Somebody comes and says, hey, we've got a nice setup here at church. Can I water your tree? And you're like, oh, didn't just. No, that's all right. Thank you. Comes directly from the toilet. Maybe not. Please don't put that on my tree. I'll just kill my tree. Am I losing anybody here? Okay. It's a bit of a side. What else? How do we cultivate? How do we look after? How do we nurture our trees, our life's trees, so that the fruit of the Spirit comes out? Okay? Speaking in tongues. That's a bit random, but yes, speaking in tongues. No, it is, absolutely. Worship. Yes, praying. Anything else, guys? Spending time with God. He's the gardener. I see moon. It is far. It's a good thing to spend time with Him and ask Him, either speaking in tongues, worshiping. A little bit of water, a little bit of sun. Amen. Amen. The instruction manual. Follow the Bible. Check out what the Bible says. Absolutely. It doesn't happen overnight. Am I right? It does not. Fruit does not happen overnight. So faith will come, guys. But I believe we need to walk by the Spirit because the Word says so. We need to walk by the Spirit. Romans 8 verse 14, it's not on there, so you guys can just relax. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Remember we said these are the fruit of the flesh. These are the things that comes out when you walk in the flesh, when you operate away from God's will, away from God's heart. But these are also the fruit of the Spirit. These fruit you will see if you walk with God. Now, how do I do that practically day by day? I seek His counsel. I submit my life. I submit my ways. I submit even my culture to where it is in disagreement with the Word of God and the will of God. I submit it all. I say, look, Lord, I get to communicate with You on a daily basis. That's how I walk in the Spirit. I check with the Holy Spirit. I check with the Helper. How do I walk by the Spirit? I thank God. And I listen to Him. And I take counsel. I take advice. I take comfort. I take wisdom from the Helper. Does that make sense? Do you guys, how many times do we take daily advice from the Helper? if, for instance, you don't take any advice from the helper or once or twice in 30 years, shockingly enough, you'll bear the fruit of it. If for 30 years, within relationship, within love, within freedom, within the restraints of a loving relationship with God, you daily, as much as you can, bounce things with the Holy Spirit, bounce things with the Word of God, bounce things in relationship with God, after 30 years, you'll be, I believe, a different type of fruit. It's a long-term plan. And our God's got time. I love things. I said to the Lord, I'm going to speak quickly about gifts now, but I said to the Lord in 2012, Lord, I desperately want more of your gifts. I really want it to manifest more in my life. I like it. It's exciting. It's rather, I love it. Who here does not like the gifts? Who here does not like gifts? Point blank. Whose love language is gifts? I've heard there's a love language called gifts. Luckily, it is five. And Chan. I guess so. Active service, words of affirmation. But anyway, God gives us those gifts that happens instantaneously. But with the fruit, God's got time. God's got time with us. I prayed to God in 2012, Lord, I really want to move more in your gifts. I want the supernatural to be more with that. I want to bless people with that. And he said to me, certain spiritual disciplines that I need to work into my life. And it wasn't a big, massive. It wasn't difficult because he anointed me for it. Long story short, I did not necessarily see an increase in the gifts, but I saw him working harder on the fruit. I asked him, Lord, I want more of your gifts. On a certain date, a certain time, I actually diarized everything. I've been doing what he said for ever since. And I noted, especially in the first couple of years, first 3 years, God was focusing. I can give, I walk into a toy store on Friday, and I just realize the word is so true. If you are evil, want to give good gifts to your children, how much more does the Lord or the Father want to give you the Holy Spirit? If you are evil, you humans without Jesus, want to give good gifts. We all have this thing. I walked into that thing, and I think I'm at my right mind, but you know what? If you had to let me loose, I wanted to buy everything. Toy that is in that place and give it to my children. I just want to bless them. I know it's not even good. Obviously, then I realize we don't have the money for it and it's not good for them. But I just so want to give them stuff. That's the same God. Luckily, he knows exactly when to give what and what amount. But we have this tendency that we want to bless our children. Going back to walking in the Spirit, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We need to be led by the Spirit of God, and then we will see the fruit of the Spirit in our life. If you are led by the Spirit, and it's not a once-off thing, it takes a bit of a while. You will be led by the Spirit. Galatians 5:16 says, this I say to them, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Is the lust of the flesh an issue in your life? Then you just say, Lord, help me to walk by the Spirit. I think it's really something that we can stop and sit down and do some homework with the Lord and say, Lord, I'd like to grow in walking in the Spirit with you. Sometimes it's just tough bringing forth those fruit. Other times walking in the Spirit will mean that you're in a place, God will just touch your life, and all of a sudden you bring an awesome word, and you pray for healing, and somebody's life gets turned upside down. And that's just a massive blessing. And then obviously you'll be a blessing to your wife, you'll be a blessing to your family, your friends, and your work colleagues, if you bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now, the fruits and gifts is very easy to distinguish between the two. I'm for both. There needs to be a balance. I'm the first one that stands in front of the queue and say, Lord, where's my gift? Where's my gift? Thank you, Lord, where's my gift? I love that. So I'm the first one. So please don't pick anything religious from this discussion. But I love what Derek Prince said. He just made this comparison between a Christmas tree and an apple tree. And it's just quickly to distinguish between the fruit that takes time to bear in our lives versus the gift that God just comes to say, Angela, I'm profiteering, living it, alles in the goodness from under the night. When he just blesses you with a gift, there's a difference. The one is the Christmas tree, the gifts. It's not directly connected. There's no direct connection between the fruit and the identity of the tree. You can have a plastic tree. You can have, who's ever had a pine, a cut down small pine? Probably wrong these days to do that. It sounds wrong saying it in church, but you like have a small pine tree next to the kachel. Who's had that? A couple of you guys. Now, it's got nothing to do with identity or the make of the pine tree, what is underneath. It's more to do with what the budget is, probably. Well, in our case, what God said. We don't have a Christmas tree, but we do do presents, because we've got kids. So for the Christmas tree, there's no direct connection, but obviously with the apple trees, totally different. Direct connection between the fruit and the tree's identity. Next one, the gift tells us nothing about the nature of the tree. If you've got a Rolex watch all wrapped up for your husband for Christmas, I don't know if this is prophetic here. No, just there's a right of a joke. But if you've got a Rolex watch wrapped under the tree, Madonna, or holiday to Mauritius for your family, the card to slip there under the tree, it's got absolutely nothing to do with the type of tree. It's got to do with the type of husband or the type of wife. But it's got nothing to do with that. The nature, however, of an apple tree determines the fruit or the identity of the fruit. You will only find apples on apple trees. Did I come to church just to hear that? Yes, apples come from apple trees, Yaku. Likewise for us as Christians, the fruit will come depending on the character and the nature of the person. The nature of the Christian, the walk, the sanctified road that they've walked with God, the amount of time that they've walked in the Spirit and been obedient to the Lord, to His voice and to His word will determine the fruit that they bear. The health of the tree does not determine the health of the gift. In some houses, the tree goes up with major funfair and it's a massive gathering and it's really awesome. Especially if it's a cut down pine tree. Maybe at the end of March, beginning of April, that poor thing is like standing this and the stuff has been falling down. And they haven't taken it down. But it did not determine the gift that was underneath the tree. Where the health of the tree, however, for us as Christians, determine the fruit. So the health of our Christianity, the health of our relationship with the Lord, determines the health of the fruit that we're going to have. And there, guys, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We are all works in progress. But it's good just to take stock and say, Lord, I'd love to have all those nine fruit. Even if it does take time, you can ask me anything. Some come a bit quicker than others. Some I've only smelt on other people. I've tasted it on another tree. There's nothing here on my side at all. But others come a bit quicker. Last one. When it comes to gifts, it's not on there. The picking is quickly. The Rolex watch slipped in, just taken out. Holy feet, my favorite. The Mauritius holidays is torn up. It's just, Mauritius. Thought we were going to Seychelles. But it's in a moment. Whereas with the apple tree, the fruit takes time. In seed form, the tree comes up. And likewise, you can just use yourself as an example. The fruit of an apple tree is not produced in a single act, but is a result of steady, continuing process of growth and development. To produce the best fruit, the tree must carefully be cultivated. This requires time, skill, and labor. Christianity includes time, skill, and labor. Just for those that listen. Let's quickly move to the gift before we end off. The gift of the Holy Spirit, and as we said, the gifts of the Holy Spirit is really exciting. I love them. I really love words of knowledge. It's awesome to see how people, once or twice we've had the privilege, when people move in healings. We'd love to see so much more, and we say, Lord, please give us more gifts. We do desperately want to see your Holy Spirit made manifest and move amongst us. But we thank you that you also work on the fruit. I'm going to read through 1 Corinthians 12 to skip, and then we'll catch each other on the slides. Now concerning what comes from the Spirit, brothers, I do not want you to be unaware. That's just how he starts off. He says, concerning the things of the Spirit, because sometimes we get hurt about the things of the Spirit, or we grew up traditionally without anything, so this is just whack to us. Or we got hurt, and now there's a bit of a reluctance, because it is supernatural, and it is not natural. Hence, there's sometimes a bit of a reluctance to the supernatural stuff. But here the writer Paul says, don't be unaware. Don't be unaware of the spiritual things. Don't be unaware of the gifts. You know that when we are pagans, I'm going to skip. I'm going to go on verse 4. It's not on there. We're going to get each other now at verse 7. Now there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. And there are different activities, but the same God activates each gift and in each person. So the gifts that God gives us come from Him. It's of one Spirit, His Holy Spirit, and it is of Him. It is a demonstration of the Spirit is given to each person to produce what is beneficial. To one is given a message of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, a message of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the performing of miracles. Who's witnessed the miracle? To another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another different kinds of languages, to another interpretation of languages. But one and the same Spirit is active in all of these, distributing to each person as involved. Now, who gets these gifts? Who gets these gifts, guys? All of us, yes. Those who are baptized by the Holy Spirit can have access to the gifts. We do, however, not all of us have all of the gifts, am I right? The word says, as God wills. Now, sometimes there might even be a bit of a religious lie out there. Somebody that got hurt, or the enemy's just whispered nonsense in their ear, that God does not want to give you any gifts. I don't see that. I don't see that in this particular scripture, but I do not see that in the character of God. So if you have not received or moved in any of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, it's just a matter of time or a matter of unwrapping rather than not having your name in a box. You understand? I believe everybody's got at least one or so gifts. And I've had the audacity to ask God for all of them, obviously. He doesn't have favorites, so I'm still waiting. But I've asked Him for all of them. And I will keep on asking for all of them. It is obviously supernatural abilities and not just heightened natural abilities. Now, who do you know in this day and age that's got a gift of faith? Who do you know that's got a gift? Who do you guys know? Okay? Do you have a gift of faith? Okay. Awesome. Who knows Angus Bucket? That's kind of an absolute yes. And funny enough, word says here, and here we need to quickly stop before we end off, is that the gift of faith, the gifts are given to us not to look cool. The gifts given to love others. The favor that God gives me, the favor that He gives Edna, the favor that He gives any one of you guys, especially with regards to the gifts, is because the favor He wants to show for those that you influence. Those that He wants to bless around you. If He blesses you with a gift, yes, it's cool. Obviously, yes, you may enjoy it. Don't be staunch about it. Enjoy it. It is awesome. But remember, it's not primarily about you. It's about those around you that you can influence. Those in whose lives He wants to speak into. He wants to package Christ, as it were. And the helper helps you, or you help the helper to bless those people. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, and this is the Amplified, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit, in brackets, the spiritual illumination and the enabling of the Holy Spirit, for the common good. All that you need to remember there is for the common good. You don't prophesy like a machine because you're cool. It's a gift that was given to you. It wasn't pruned. Or it didn't come over years of godly service to the kingdom. No, it came to you. Of course, yes, you're a blessing and you're a believer, but most importantly, for the common good of those around you. For the common good whose lives the helper wants to touch. So if you've got a faith, a big faith, a great faith, if you've got a gift of faith, firstly know this, it's going to get tested. It's going to get used. In other words, there's going to be pressure situations. And second to that, it is for the common good. It is for the common good of those around you, those that God has planted you amongst. Guys, growing in faith is not such a mission. I believe, I rather see it as, if I look at my life with Edna this last 12 years, it's been an amazing, crazy ride. It has been an amazing ride. And yes, I have grown in faith. I did not have a strategy how to grow in faith. I had to walk in the Spirit. I had to spend time with people that do carry faith and carry the fragrance of Christ and skill because learn from them, eat their testimonies, make it my own, get into scriptures, get tested, get hurt, not that it's God's heart, get hurt, get a bit offended, get over it, and grow. God is in process, he's in a relational process with all of us. But we can either see it as what a mountain, I need to grow in faith. We can see it as this amazing race that we're in, this amazing journey that we're in with him. And we can only say this, Lord, I need help. I need help. I need help with the fruit. And if you want to bless me with a gift, I'll have one of those as well. Thank you. And let him walk this out with you. I can really, really testify. We've written down many of it. We've not even written down all of it. But there's so many times where, by the help of the Holy Spirit, God has done insane things, amazing things, not insane, amazing things in our lives. And I know in yours as well. But I trust him for more. I trust him for more. I trust him for a balance between the fruit and the gifts. And we trust him for more. Let us stand. Please. With all eyes closed, I didn't prepare, but I just feel we just quickly can pray about this. Just with everybody's eyes closed, if anybody is going through a really pressure cooker time at the moment, you really experience a lot of pressure. It's a testing time. You're not sure if it's God or if it's this or it's that. It's just really a crunch time at the moment. If somebody's going through something like that, can you just raise your hand? Well, I just thank you for there's a lot of hands, Father God. I just thank you that I just pray that this situation, each and every one of these situations, we just bring it to you, Father God. I pray in Jesus' name that it will bring forth faith. Pray that it will bring forth the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I pray that it will bring forth what you have planned for this individuals. I pray for a fresh hope. I pray for a fresh faith. And I pray for the fruit of the Holy Spirit to come forth out of this situation. Lord, if ever, Lord, I pray for this, is that in this pressure cooker situation that we can do this one thing. We can surrender our hearts and we can keep it soft before you. That I've learned is sometimes the toughest thing, is just to keep our hearts soft before the Lord, even if we don't understand. God, we lift up these individual situations and hearts, and even if we don't understand, we say, you're a good, good Father. You've given us a helper, and faith will come from this. The fruit of the Spirit will come from this, and God's perfect will, in Jesus' name, will come forth in each of these situations. We thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Just a prayer. If you just want to resubmit your apple tree, just resubmit your tree to the Lord. That's all. Just just to say, Lord, you're in control. Please cultivate. Please lead. Please water. Please give sunshine. Please give a mess thing. Give whatever, just give whatever is needed, Lord, to grow forth the fruit that you've called me for. If that's you, if you just want to resubmit your tree to the Lord, can you just put up your hands, please? Very simply, just saying, Lord, I want to do that. God, we just simply say, here we are. We just, these trees just bow their knees before you. We just say, Lord, we would like to, you just to come into our lives afresh and just to help. Bend where we need to be bent, prune where we need to be pruned, give a lot of sunshine and living waters, pure living waters when it's needed. And thank you that you use the yucky stuff so that we can grow and bear the fruit of Christ in our lives. Then as we finish off, not only for the gift of faith, but any of the gifts that we've mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12, you would like to come to the Lord and say, Lord, the word says, eagerly desire the spiritual gifts. If you say, I eagerly desire the operation of the spiritual gifts in my life, or even more, or some of them might be rusted and dusted up, I want God just to come flow through my life. I give myself for the common good of the kingdom, not of the thief. Not of shofar, not of this, not of that. I give myself for the common good of the bigger Church of Christ. As God will lead, I want you to come forward and we're going to pray for you. If you are just saying, Lord, I want, you can mention the gift. And just say, Lord, please, I want your gift in my life. Please come forward and I'm going to pray with you. Edna's going to pray with you. Chris is going to pray with you. And we're going to trust the Lord. Is there anybody that wants gifts, guys? Okay, cool. Elise, cool. That's how you get a gift. You don't. I say, you go for your gift. In faith. So, amen. We're just going to pray. I'm going to finish off and you guys can have a coffee, have some cake, and enjoy your week. Lord, we thank you for today. I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you, Lord, that like you said, it came to pass. And thank you, God, that you'll do it through all of our lives. Help us to walk in the spirit and not the flesh. Help us to travel lightly on this earth, Lord, and know that we're pilgrims heading for an awesome home. Keep our hearts in a safe space, Lord. Thank you for your helper. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you will help all of us in Jesus' name. We honor you. Amen.